Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 248 of Beyond the Supernatural. We're still in the monsters section. This book is winding down, as is my recording time, and as you know, my goal throughout this monster section has been to complete this book in this one recording session. Therefore, today, I'm not proud to say it, but I'm going to hit you with a technicality. The dumbest thing about today's monster, which is the siphon entity, is not exactly found on this page, but I think I can just about make it work. Here's the thing. All of the entity creatures are immaterial spirit beings who like latch onto something. So we've talked about the haunt that latches onto a psychic impression and becomes sort of not quite a ghost. We've talked about the poltergeist that latches onto a location and just kind of dicks around there. Not to diminish the seriousness of a poltergeist infestation. We are yet to talk about the possessing entity that possesses people. The siphon entity is an entity that possesses an object. Once it's in the object, it consumes PPE from its host, from people around it, and if at all possible, from blood sacrifices. You may not think that a spirit being bound to an object is in a great position for negotiation about this, but apparently these motherfuckers know how to negotiate, because let somebody once pick up a necklace with a siphon entity in it, thinking, ooh, this is pretty. I know it's haunted, but it's so cool. 5 days later, probably you're going to find this person doing a blood sacrifice to keep the fucking necklace happy. Quote, "Unlike the poltergeist, the siphon's intentions are far from playful or innocent. This is a diabolical creature that delights in manipulating, corrupting, and destroying humans. A common practice of the siphon is to sense a corruptible individual and make telepathic contact. After initial communication has been established, the entity weaves a fantastic story about being a powerful source of magic, or possessing the knowledge slash means to acquiring great power, or revenge, or whatever it is the person covets. It plays upon the person's greed, frustration, misery, lust for power, want for revenge, hatred, and love, and exploits other weaknesses and desires. In exchange for its aid, the horrid creature often demands regular blood sacrifices to be made in its presence. This way, the siphon can absorb all the doubled PPE of the murdered victim, as well as enjoying the slaying of an innocent person and its contribution to the moral decay of its human pawn. Because, you know, blood is nice, PPE is nice, but it's important to know you're making a difference. It's like the story of the horrid spirit creature walking along the beach, picking up starfishes and throwing them directly into hell. And Beelzebub asks, there's so many of these starfish not being tortured for eternity in hell. Do you feel like you're really making a difference? And the horrid demonic entity tosses another starfish poignantly into the depths of the lake of fire and says, I made a difference for that one. Ironically, he didn't, because starfish are extremely simple creatures and honestly might as well be in hell as anywhere. They don't give a fuck. Here's the thing about the siphon. The siphon is running a very specific grift. It's inhabiting an object. It's able to offer some power, some insight to the person who possesses the object. Not a lot, but some. And it trades this power and insight to get the host to like carry it around, do blood sacrifices for it, help it corrupt people, etc., etc. It really needs that leverage because it cannot move itself. Quote, the object inhabited by the siphon can only be moved through levitation. Consequently, the most desired objects are small handheld items, especially items of value to humanoids, such as gems, jewelry, and weapons. This is super important because once a siphon is in an object, it is there permanently. If the object is destroyed, then it can leave, but until the object is destroyed, it just sits there. It may go into stasis for long periods of time if there's nobody around to feed on, like no PPE to drain. So it's really counting on someone finding the object, thinking it's cool, going up to it, picking it up, moving it to somewhere where there are a bunch of people so the siphon can absorb a bunch of PPE and like attain consciousness again. And then it can start, you know, working its magic, negotiating with its host. That's all dependent on somebody thinking the item is cool and picking it up and taking it with them. Therefore, lots of siphons choose objects like jewelry or cool weapons or whatever. This makes sense because, as we see in the attributes section on this page, mind you, quote, very cunning, intelligent, and ruthless, equal to an IQ of 15, but doesn't understand biological life forms. So they are smart, even though they don't really get people or animals or any living thing, but they are smart, and that's why they're able to pick out objects that are likely to be picked up and fawned over and so on. It works for their grift. At least that's what they pick most of the time, these highly intelligent creatures, but not always. We have another description of their behavior from the previous page. Quote, The siphon is an evil entity that inhabits inanimate objects. Immediately upon inhabiting an object, the entity is trapped, forever imprisoned until the item is destroyed. Such creatures inhabiting dead trees and rocks have certainly contributed to legends of foul-tempered, quote, nature and earth spirits. So on a technicality, I'm going to say the dumbest thing on this page, page 248, is assigning an IQ of 15 to a creature whose whole grift depends upon inhabiting a desirable mobile object, but sometimes just decides, you know what, I want to inhabit forever? This fucking stump. This fucking rotted tree. I could roam around indefinitely looking for, you know, jewelry, whatever, an object of interest, even a cool small rock that someone might pick up and put in their pocket and take with them. Even an arrowhead that a future archaeologist might find and think is cool and take me to a museum or whatever where I can start tempting the grad students or the curators or whatever. Even if failing that, let me inhabit something that I know is going to be destroyed soon so that I can chill out for a while and then inhabit something else. Maybe there'll be something else here cool by then. Instead of that, let me just inhabit this fucking dead tree. What does the siphon entity think is going to happen with its 15 IQ? Does it think somebody's going to be wandering through the woods and think, odds bodkin, a dead tree. I must let my brothers know. And then they're all going to come back out to the woods with him and gather around this dead fucking tree just to like marvel at it or poke it with a stick or whatever. And that's going to be enough PPE to wake up the siphon. What then? The tree telepathically contacts one of them. You there, Josiah. I contact you telepathically. It is me. I am the tree. And unlike other dead trees, I contain great power. I can't show you right now because I'm just a little skint. I just woke up. But perhaps if you'd like to come and visit and do a blood sacrifice here later this week, I can't go with you. I am, of course, a tree. But seriously, listen to the voice you're hearing now in the woods from this dead tree. Come back to this specific tree. If you could come back here with a person and murder them, then I will make it worth your while. I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a blood sacrifice today, Josiah. And if Josiah says no, it's back to just chilling in a dead tree until someone else thinks it's interesting enough to draw a crowd around it. Technically, the dead tree is on page 247, but in my opinion, any fake-ass ghost dumb enough to eternally inhabit a dead tree, just hoping that it works out and that somebody takes a fucking interest, that is no IQ 15. So that is the dumbest thing on this page. Anyway, I know it's a technicality. I do apologize, but we're moving fast now. The rules are falling away. It's no holds barred. Join me tomorrow as we continue plowing through these fucking entities on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.